16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
Happy to welcome back Klaus Thompson. He is one of the founders of Coffee Collective, a micro roastery in Denmark. They have their own bars, but they also sell coffee in more than 20 different countries. Coffee lovers from France to Spain, from Japan to the US are big fans of the brand, and so am I actually. In the previous episode, I talked with Klaus about how he takes particularly good care of people. And today, I would like to understand more about his sustainability efforts and taking care of the planet. Welcome back, Klaus.
Thank you.
Let's dive straight into the CARE principles framework. How you can take better care of the planet by collaborating, the C of CARE, being agile, the A of CARE, reliability, the R of CARE, and empathy, the E of CARE. You collaborate, your name is Collective, you collaborate in many different ways. Could you explain how you collaborate for sustainable reasons?
Yeah, I think, the collaboration really starts with both the work that happens on the coffee farms we buy from, but all the way down to the consumer level when we have coffee shop guests coming in or people enjoying our coffee at home. In the collaboration sense, I think we have done a lot of work with like different partners around, trying to learn always from others, get inspired from other industries as well on how we can improve. I think there's a lot of collaboration happening both externally but especially internally in the company as well. Mm-hmm. Really surrounding ourselves with good people that provide a lot in the collective universe.
That's interesting. There is this The Pledge, it's called. It's an initiative by Transparent Trade, and they strive to have more transparency in the coffee industry.
Yes.
You signed the pledge back in 2019. Do you feel that there's still a lot of greenwashing in the coffee industry?
Yeah, I definitely think there is, and especially, and I think it's called blue washing as well, like when it comes to worker conditions and the social practices. So greenwashing is very much on the environmental side, but blue washing is very much on the social aspect. And I think it happens a lot in coffee that I've still yet to meet a coffee roastery who doesn't think they pay well for coffee, yet farmers globally are getting severely underpaid. So the pledge was a collaboration between, I think, initially 17 coffee roasteries that pledged to be fully transparent on the money that they're paying, providing the open books so people could see what they're paying, and then having sort of a peer review. But it was also the intention to get more and more roasteries on board, and I think there's over 60 roasteries now who have joined the pledge. I wish more would join, but it's also, it's kind of just setting a framework for collaboration and saying like, hey, here's a way we can inspire others. And also telling other roasteries like, here's a framework that you can just follow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that you did in 2019. Let's move to agility. Yeah. It's adapting yourself, adapting the organization to the many and fast changes in society. You have been doing other efforts to become net zero. Could you explain a little bit how you're always taking it to the next step?
Yeah, I think for us, we're always looking ahead and seeing how can we improve as a company. And in 2019, we also became B Corp certified. And the B Corporation is really a great tool. And that's why we initially started on it, because they have what is called a B assessment, which is a tool where you can kind of gauge yourself as a company and measure yourself on a wide range of parameters. And we initially started on it just to try and get inspired and see, well, where do we have some blind spots? We've been working for like 14 years or something on, you know, getting more payments to farmers and really having that as our core mission. But how are we actually doing when it comes to employees? How are we doing when it comes to the local community, when it comes to environmental practices, and also when it comes to the governance of how we look into the governance of our own company? And it provided a great sort of inspiration in the beginning, and then after a while we decided let's move on and become certified as well. And I think that that's part of the process, you know. Then we became certified, and we've been that for, you know, 3 years now, and being recertified. And now we're already looking ahead and saying, like, now we can check that off, but how do we continuously push ourselves to become better? Are there, you know, blind spots around the company where we can improve? And I think that's a big part of the agility of the company, being willing and ready to change.
It's an ongoing process.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. Klaus, the reliability part, it's about how trustworthy are you? It can be as an employer, but it can also be, for instance, towards your clients. Reliability is changing. We've talked about coffee certifications. Mm-hmm. There are so many certifications right now. Like you said, you can have like a organic label or fair trade label. But for average people, it's just so difficult. Mm-hmm. Could you help me out, also me personally? What are good certifications, and what is it, just something you buy and you can, you know, you just pay to have it on your packaging?
Yeah, and I really agree that certifications is both a blessing and something that is really difficult sometimes to work with, because it can very easily become, as you say, greenwashing. I think a lot of the certifications are great. I think, I mean, in Denmark, the organic certification is the most trusted brand of anything that consumers recognize. They really trust that when it says organic, it is fully organic. I think building a trustworthy brand goes beyond certifications. I don't think that by just getting a bunch of certifications, you build trust to your consumers or your guests. I think it's very much about being open and being transparent about what you do. Also owning up to your mistakes. And then I think communication, you know, showing who you are and what you stand for, and standing for the same thing across every contact point, every touch point that consumers have with you. I think that's what over time has built trustworthiness. And it's a difficult thing. It's really difficult, but I think starting with having your own sort of values and being true to those values is where it all comes from. Mm-hmm. When a company has to reinvent their values or come up with a CSR strategy, quite often it's very easy for people to look through. Like it's very apparent to them that that's not really trustworthy. So you have to really have a core purpose of your business. And that has to translate into values that people will relate to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree. Let's move over to the E of care, empathy. And I would like to go back to the coffee farmers. Like mm-hmm. we said in the previous episode, most coffee farmers, they don't even get enough money from big coffee corporations to live.
Yes.
They can hardly survive with the money that they receive. You've changed that system for your direct trade. You really give them a fair wage. Is that out of empathy, or is there more to it for you?
I think it's almost like a yin yang, or like a circular thing for us. The purpose of our company is to create exciting coffee experiences in a manner that brings more value to farmers. By bringing more value to farmers, they can create better coffee. That allows us to create better coffee experiences that we can charge more from guests, that can bring more value back. And suddenly you see it's a circular thing. So it goes hand in hand. And this dualistic purpose is really at the core. It's a chicken and egg thing. Like, where does it start? If you're not willing to pay for the coffees, like, and pay good money for the green coffee, you will never get the best quality to your audience. Yeah, and so it's both out of empathy. It's very much based on when we have met with coffee producers, and you sit down and you look them in the eyes and you see how they live and you see how little some of them have. It's really difficult not to empathize with that and to get a gut feeling that, hey, we have to do more. I still don't think we pay enough for coffee. Even with the amount that we're paying, I think we should pay more. I think we should always strive to bring more value to them. And if we do that, then this, then we will also get a reward out of it in terms of like the delicious and mind-blowing kind of coffees that we get to taste. So it's not just altruism, it's also that it's a business model, and it's also something that provides value to us and to our guests. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we can all thrive in it. And there's a value for each and every every partner in it. It's sort of like a win-win for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. So you're really a good example and a proof that having a balanced people, planet, prosperity model, yes, it really works.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
don't need to focus just on profit.
Exactly.
You don't need to focus on just growing for growing. Yeah. It's really possible.
And in episode one, you mentioned that we've grown quite fast. And in my mind, I was going, it's funny because I've met other entrepreneurs who actually think like, why haven't you opened more shops? And it's because for us, it's a balancing act. You can easily, or not, maybe not easily, but you can make a goal and say, I want 50 shops in 5 years. That can be a great growth goal. But for us, it's not just about growing. The growth has to be in a way where we also know that we can empathize with our guests and know that they will still get a good experience, a personalized service experience, and we can empathize with our employees that if the growth happened too fast, I think they will lose the sense of why are we doing this. And the big why we're growing and why we want to grow is literally because we have seen the change for farmers when we have bought 20 bags of coffee at a really high price compared to the year after when we bought 40 bags. And now we're buying 300 bags at an even higher price. And we can see that that's the sort of the purpose for us. It's not just growing for growth's sake. It's growing so we can get more value to farmers, and at the same time we can meet a wider audience of happy coffee consumers. If we have more coffee shops, we can provide more great coffee experiences. Mm-hmm. So it's not just profit driven, it's really driven by the sense of the purpose.
So the growth is not ego-driven, it's community-driven, I would say.
Yeah.
It's to create wealth and to have a positive impact for the community, the larger community.
Yeah.
So that's really beautiful. Just to go back on the last couple of minutes of this episode, how do you work specifically on, for instance, food reduction? Because you also have a bakery.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things within packaging. A lot of people take their coffee outside. How do you work on that to get more ecological solutions for that?
Yeah, we work really hard. Let me start with packaging. On getting packaging, we couldn't find a packaging that would break down organically. So we really worked hard on finding a EU factory that could make reused plastic and that would be reusable. So that everything, the valve and the zip and everything, is made out of the same plastic so it can be reused over and over again. And it actually was much more difficult than we had envisioned. And we really had to work hard with a more local factory on getting this produced. We're using recyclable tin cans for our own coffee shops. Instead of opening bags for every coffee we put in our own grinders, we're using the same tins that can be reused over and over again. And in the bakery, we try to reuse a lot of coffee. So if we haven't sold filter coffee while it was fresh, we can actually use that to hydrate our rye bread that will then benefit from some of these coffee malty aromas. But we can also minimize waste that way. And then making products out of bread that we didn't sell, so it goes into basically a big porridge that you can then use in the next day's bread. So we really try to think circular in that way.
Mm, it's great. It's an amazing and beautiful example of how to have a business, grow a business, and have more impact on people and planet. I would really like to thank you, Klaus. It's been so inspiring to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Thank you at home for watching. Thank you for listening, and take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves and by sharing it in your network. Thank you and take care.